RadioInfluence.com. The future is now.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Monday edition of the Dark Delight Podcast with...
Lori Loughlin, released from prison after serving 2 months for college admission scandal, Val, and...
Beans. There's a little useless piece of information I had no idea about. When did that happen?
I don't know. I just saw this 10 minutes ago on the entertainment section on Twitter.
Oh, well, listen, a couple things. Number one, if you've been following my Twitter account, you know that I've been fighting with this brownie for the past week or so. And right before the show, I was able to open the brownie, Frank.
It's because I was here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lori Loughlin, how is she ever going to put her life back together? Literally nobody cares.
No.
Like this is one of those things where justice was administered to a person that everybody's like, all right, well, like, I guess she messed up. But does anybody really hate Aunt Becky for this?
Was it?
No.
She doesn't seem to be a very nice person.
I don't know. I haven't looked into it because I just don't care. I mean, I'm glad that somewhere people are being called out for doing something you're not supposed to do.
It's funny because we're going to talk about this whole, you know, whatever the thing that the president, Impoundment Control Act of 1974 thing today.
Yeah. I was reading that last night. I was saying to myself, is this just effectively a line item veto?
Pretty much.
We've been talking about that for years. I mean, if we're going to have to live through these horrible, unconstitutional, counterintuitive omnibus bills for every little damn thing, then there at least needs to be some kind of authority to strike things line by line. Would love to have Rand Paul in the Oval Office with any sitting president to help them do that.
Yeah. And... This, you know, everybody's got their theories about it. But I'm reading about it. I'm like, you know, people are like, well, this, you know, strips the authority of blah, blah. I'm like, since when has Congress ever listened to anything? They don't follow any rules or laws anymore. Laws and rules don't matter. They don't matter at all. They do whatever they want and it doesn't matter. Like, plain and simple. They do whatever they want and it doesn't matter. Right?
Yeah. Oh, shit. I that was muted. Yes, of course. They don't do anything. First of all, they don't. When we got into the whole what the hell was it? Now I'm blanking.
I'm sorry.
No. It was the War Powers Act.
Mm.
We're getting into the War Powers Act, and it's like, oh, well, we need to do something to tailor the War Powers Act so that Congress could be more in charge of the deployment of the military in any kind of armed conflict or anything like that, because they're afraid of how the president was going to use it or blah blah blah. And I'm saying to myself, what the hell kind of a ridiculous dance is this? They never had the power to take it away anyway. The power was never supposed to be in the hands of the president. Anyway, and there was no constitutional amendment. They have all the power to deploy the military and to declare war. Well, they have all of it.
They do, and they never, you know, the president was, not President Trump, but presidents before him was declaring war on countries under some,
exactly.
You know, he was just sending troops wherever he wanted, never needed an act of Congress. Rand Paul has screamed about that for years, and it's funny because... For a really long time, people were like, oh, these people are too principled. They can't move with the flow. They have, you know, I can't believe. And now I'm like, hey, if we had some more principled people sitting in these positions, we'd be in a much better place right now, wouldn't we?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's good to have at least one person with a couple of principles sitting in the office, sitting in the Oval Office right now, because we haven't gotten ourselves... into 5 new wars that on average happens every 4 years.
Do you want to know what else I've noticed too? First of all, everybody is an expert. That's one thing. Everybody is an expert. And number two, it seems to me that things sometimes are just what they are and not some big chess move.
I'm with you on that one, Tracy. That's why I haven't run myself ragged trying to figure out the ins and outs of Nashville over the Christmas break. I haven't. Seriously, I'm just I'm waiting for somebody on out there to take things like Sydney Powell. And I know a few people have sent me all of her newly released stuff, and I definitely didn't read through 270 pages over the last 3 days. But it's one of those things there too, where I'm sure that it's explosive, and I know the kind of work that she does, because we've been tracking it for years with Michael Flynn and her her published works and everything else. We know what kind of a fighter she is. But my big question is, we're at a point right now where I don't need any more evidence as to the waters that we're drowning in. I don't need any more evidence as to the traitors and the thieves and the murderers that we're living around. I need some evidence that somebody other than us are going to take it seriously.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody's got to do something.
I'm waiting for something to be done, or else, as we said before, the election was the last peaceful option that people who can see the water levels rising, and that is a figurative water levels rising, people who could see the water levels rising and their liberties being completely sapped away from them with no chance of coming back if they really are taken for good, that was the last free and peaceful option we had. And that has been erased with the same kind of tools and the apparatus that was made to concoct this pandemic reasoning for everything to shut us down and to ruin our elections.
So you have gone. Hold on one second. Hold on. They're tearing down my house, or about to tear down my house right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little crazy around here. I'm going to pause it for a second. So speaking of all of that stuff you were just saying about, you know, businesses being shut down and all of that, I have a clip of a guy over the weekend went pretty viral. I wanted to send, you know, show everybody.
Oh, I love this clip.
Yeah. I said, never underestimate the American people. This is something here.
For just a minute. I'm part of that industry. I'm part of the restaurant industry, too, for any of you that are in it. And I just want to say one thing that's very important. Everybody in here has to understand. Probably
one more minute, guys.
Probably everybody else with any business. We've been used to living very well, like Marie said, very free, enjoyed our lives. Got to stop thinking like a victim criminal mentality. As the victim, oh, I'll just do whatever the criminal tells me to do. They'll let me go when I'm done. They don't want to let us go. They want complete freaking control of us. They don't want us going back to normality. So this is the time we got to stand up. Every freaking business has got to stand up and put these sons of bitches down.
Amen.
Because if we don't, they're taking us out.
That's right.
I'm 60 freaking years old. I've lived all my life as an American.
That's right.
And Robbie's right. This isn't about Democrat or Republican. This is about American.
That's right.
And I am not ready to give my country up to these people so that they can ruin my life, everybody's life in here. We got to stop them. Yeah. We got to grow this group. Like Marie said, here, state, country, global, we got to really do this. This is the time to be serious. If we're not serious now, and it ain't going to take them long, you're looking at 6-8 months. This coming summer could be an absolute freaking disaster for freedom, for patriots, for this country.
Right.
We got to do this now. Every day has to be serious. Forget about looking forward to next Christmas with your family. Next Thanksgiving with your family. It ain't going to happen if we don't stop them now, this year.
Yeah.
So that's it. Just keep going. Take this serious. Take this freaking serious. I want to finish my life owning my business. I said to Kelly this morning, all I want is my life back. I'm not looking for fame. I'm not looking for fortune. I want to mow my lawn on a sunny Saturday morning, again, like I used to, and not worry about who the hell's coming to try to bomb my house, take it from me, and ruin my life. We gotta keep together. We gotta grow. Get the word out there. I'm not giving up. So neither should anybody here. I don't think you will.
Amen.
And there's reason 5,898. Piece of evidence as to why Joe Biden lost this election so badly.
Yeah.
So badly. And same. Okay. That was our last peaceful option. This is why people came out to vote. in big ways, because they knew, all right, well, this is where we make our stand.
This is it.
That's and now we got to see who's willing to stand with us. Who's willing to stand with us? When are the police? When's the blue that everybody backs so fervently going to show up to small businesses and tell the health inspectors to get bent? You know, when are they going to tell the health inspectors to get bent and stand alongside of the business owners that need to be open for them to even be taxed to pay the police? I've had enough of watching this two-on-one nonsense between health inspectors and police talking scolding to business owners. Yeah, scolding them. I've had enough of it.
Now, did you see the one over the weekend? Dan Bongino shared it where...
Yep.
Yeah, it was about 8-9 minutes long or something like that. And the guy basically blocks the health inspector in and says, if I can't work, neither can she. I'm not moving my car. I didn't see the whole thing. I only watched the beginning of it.
I watched it. It was good.
What happens at the end?
Oh, no, I don't know. It's like almost like a cliffhanger. I was wondering if there was a part two.
Oh.
Yeah, there's like five other cops show up to try to mediate the situation. And everybody's still playing this have to talk to my supervisor
mm-hmm,
game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the cops need to talk to their supervisors. The health inspector has a supervisor. And then, of course, the supervisor has a supervisor. And this is the game that we're playing. It's like rearranging the deck chairs in the Titanic.
People just need to open up their businesses. They just need to do it.
There's not enough cops to close down even a village.
Yep.
Let alone a city. Just show up and open up your businesses.
Open your business and do your thing. And if everybody does it, it's just like this, Frank. You'll know it very, very well. And I'm going to play it because this is exactly what we're talking about here.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one hand.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one hand.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100-1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
And I hear the guitar music come in, but we don't have your
show.
And
then Shinedown comes on in Son of Sam.
Yep.
We saw A Bug's Life in the theaters as kids and always loved that scene. But of course, you know, as life goes on, you start seeing how even so many of the children's films that we were shown had something else there. I mean, it's real. It's very, very real. And it's never, when you think about the forces that we're up against, they're not trying to collect. They don't care about making another $1 billion. That's why you say, oh, well, you know, these vaccines, it's all about,
they're gonna
make $100 billion off this vaccine. So you think that Prince Charles needs $100 billion? You think that Prince Charles and Klaus Schwab and all these UN creeps around the world are trying to make a few billion dollars and they destroyed the planet doing so? It's so much bigger than that. It's so much bigger than that. It's not about food.
It's about keeping the ants in line.
And ultimately reducing their numbers.
Well, I'm reading some of this stuff about this vaccine and I'm like geez. All these videos are coming out, these nurses with like Bell's palsy and like the flyers that say that you should avoid sexual intercourse for 28 days because of problems with fertility and issues. It's
Well, I've had multiple people get in touch with me from just from personal friends from town saying, I think I have to get this thing. My mother wants me to get it. You know, those people who have other family members in their house that are in severe difficulty already that they care for and stuff. And they're freaked out. I said, listen, you have to do what you got to do, but let me just send you a few things. And I started with some of the articles Uncovered DC put out with just the PCR tests alone. I'm just trying to, it's not even just about saying, listen, this is a first of its kind vaccine. I have no clue why the president ever attached himself to it.
I can't support it. I'm completely against him on this.
I can't stand when people say, Frank, it's optics. Optics?
Optics.
Yeah, optics?
You're telling millions of people to take this vaccination.
Yeah, you're going to rush through a genetic vaccine that works on a genetic level, the first time it's ever been done ever, and it's rushed through like years ahead of schedule
warp
than other
speed.
Vaccines. So, and if you look at all the warp speed crew behind it, it's not good. I don't know. The whole thing. Every time he talks about vaccines my eyes glaze over.
They're doing this whole thing too now where they're saying, oh, the only way to travel will be with an immunity card. It's like literally what we've been screaming about for decades, Frank.
Yeah, happening but now it's a good idea. But it's a good idea now. It wasn't a good idea back then.
Yeah, very good idea to give everybody an immunity vaccination card to travel around with if they want to go anywhere. That's perfect. Here.
But what I've been doing is I've been sending people things, little things that actually tries to tell the bigger picture. Because, you know, start with the PCR tests. Start with, hey, you know that even the New York Times reported that up to 90% of these results could be false. I mean, even the New York Times had to do that a couple of months ago. And if you start painting that bigger picture, then I think it's a little bit more – it makes the rushing through this vaccine a little bit more suspect. And that's on top of the Bell's palsy and everything else.
I've been working through a piece for the past couple of days. I'm not sure when it's going to come out. I thought that I was going to be able to get it out yesterday, but – I don't think so. It's just, it's got to be done the right way about the politicization of these committees and like COVID. I have some insider stuff that came to me and a whistleblower is right. I don't even know if it's a whistleblower. Anyway, the guy's willing to go on the record with his name. Very high profile person. And I'm just working on it to make sure it's good. But it has to do with what they've done with these, with the politicization of this and why. And it's terrifying. Here's a woman who is very well spoken. I love her to death. I wish I knew who she was so I could go up and give her a maskless hug.
There's like 36 people with COVID in the ICU. Whenever there's a flu, there's only two or three patients at a time in the ICU. So literally, the entire hospital is COVID patients. This has never happened.
I'm not saying COVID's not real. I'm just saying I'm not sick. I'm not sick, and asymptomatic spread has been shown to be a myth. So why am I going to be treated like a sick person? Do you know that there have been fewer deaths overall in 2019 than there were in 2018? Look it up. Fewer deaths overall. All they've done is recategorize all the deaths. This is not what they're telling us it is. It's a lie. This is a lie, I'm telling you. It's a lie. And everyone's buying it. And it'll go on and on and on as long as they feed us this lie and we comply with it. And I'm done. Tonight, I reached a breaking point. I'm done. I know I'm not reaching anyone here. I don't care. I'm not putting that on my face. I'm not going to. I'm a healthy person. I'm not crazy. This is like psychosis. For everyone to put all this stuff on their face when they're healthy is insanity. It's absolute insanity. Go ahead. They can't arrest me because there's no law. I'm a healthy person. I don't need to wear masks. I would love to see what happens. Honestly,
I'm just having him escort you out.
I'm moving tomorrow.
I kicked you out a long time ago, and you're refusing after I'm offering you something.
Salts and corkscrew. But I'm really curious to see how are they going to arrest me for a law that doesn't exist.
Epsom salts and a corkscrew, and you're willing to like risk people's lives.
Risk people, you freak zombie.
How do you know that you're healthy?
How do you know that you're healthy? How do you know that you're healthy? How do you know you're healthy?
We could all be sick right now if you think about it. You zombie. You are not a person. You're right. You're right. I know you're not healthy. You know the person that asks a question like that is not healthy, only it's between the ears.
How do you know if you're healthy or not?
How do you know if you're healthy or not?
Seriously. Because I'm not sick.
What are you, anti-science? The television said that we're all sick. What are you, anti-science?
My God.
The TV said we're sick. Now stop.
The TV said everyone's sick and we need to put on masks.
God, I hate them. I hate you.
They're all programmable little drones.
Damn right.
They run around with their program. Me, 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 me. Freaking losers. Everybody needs to start doing that.
Yeah.
Then Geraldo tweets yesterday, Frank. Sidney Powell is a pathetic lawyer who, among others, is working to destroy the legacy of Donald Trump.
Now Donald Trump has a legacy. Now everybody. Oh, I should have been wearing my mask.
What's wrong with you?
I must be sick. But now Donald Trump has a legacy that they want to help preserve.
Yes.
Come on. Let Donald keep what he's built, at least. Come on, let him go quietly. Come on, we'll give him credit for that wonderful economy that we collapsed. We'll give him, hey, how about we give him credit for the economy finally? Let's preserve his legacy. Stop it, Sidney. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
The mustache has spoken.
Freaking ridiculous. Ridiculous.
The reverse psychology mind games that these freaks, these freak pop propagandist puppets. God, no. Oh, my God.
Sidney Powell and crew are literally the only ones still fighting outside of the strategy that President Trump seems to have been employed, which is to count on Congress and the Senate on the 6th.
How much do you think he has to rely on?
I mean, he needs two people from each.
You think Rand Paul is willing to do it in the Senate?
I would assume so. I mean, there's no reason he shouldn't. Basically, 80% of the country wants them to. And that's the real numbers. That's the thing. That's why I keep saying they make us feel like this minority. But we're not. We're really not. So now, you know, that's what like some of the strategizing behind this quasi line item veto thing is. It's basically he's kind of working with them to give them their bill so that they will work with him on January 6th. It could be. He just sent out a letter to Nancy Pelosi today saying, hey, you know, they have to go through and look at the things that he's redlined and they have to actually.
Is it all the foreign aid got cut?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Good. I mean, no one's seen it, but I'm sure. And we didn't get to talk about this, and I said we were going to on Wednesday of last week, but he appointed Pam Bondi to the JFK Center that's getting all that tax dollar money that they keep feeding with money. He appointed her to the committee that works with that group from the government. I wonder why he appointed Pam Bondi, of all people. To that.
Maybe because she'll have access to the books.
Maybe. What do you think?
Oh, I hope so.
Huh.
I hope so. Every time I see $25 million to the Kennedy Center, I was like, can you give me $10,000 of that?
Seriously.
If you're going to waste it? If you're going to waste it, can you just give me $10,000 of that? I can create a job with that.
Right. So what will always end up happening now is, you know, they'll get, I guess the American people are going to get $2,000 per individual, $600 per child. So that'll be 50 something hundred for me. It'll be what, for $5,200? Still not enough to make up for all the, not, I mean, not for me particularly, but still not enough for the business owners out there who make this country actually run. And I'm starting to think, like, Frank, what are they going to, I mean, what happened to that trucker strike? When are all the working people going to make these people's lives miserable? When are we going to do something? When are we going to stand up and do something to take our... It's on us at this point.
Businesses need to open. Over 100 million people need to refuse to pay taxes. I wish, you know, I'm not one for mind control, but I wish I can control 100 million people in just a couple of areas in life. I wish I could. I really wish I could.
Like
I would
where?
I would send everybody back to work. I would have 100 million people take their masks off, and I would also make sure that a 100 million people do not pay taxes. They just don't do it. They sit on their hands come April 15th. They just do not do it.
That would be glorious, wouldn't it?
Oh, it'd be amazing. It'd be the greatest psychological war operation ever launched, because it'd actually be pro liberty. It'd be amazing. I wish I could do it.
So, now
watch the Secret Service knock on my door because I talked about my fantasies of controlling people's minds and not paying taxes.
That's the other thing too that people are starting to say, and this is so true. I forget who tweeted it, but somebody said they want us to believe that they figured out this Nashville bombing in 24 hours, but had Hunter Biden's laptop, didn't have any clue that they had it. Jeffrey Epstein hung himself in his cell. They didn't know anything about him for however many years. You know, like all the things that like the FBI has dropped the ball on, but all of a sudden.
Tracy, they told us last year that they just flat out said, give up on the idea that we will ever know what happened in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I know. I know. Vegas.
We're never going to know anything about Vegas. That's why when I saw this Nashville thing and everybody is, you know, I wonder, AT&T this and Dominion,
well,
perhaps
that's
that.
That's the other thing. People are saying Dominion. The whole, I'm going to read what I was sent about this and just think about this for a second. It was a text message I'm trying to find. There was no forensic exam that was going to be done at this building. I'm looking for what it says. I'm trying to find it because it was so good. It was like the former owner of the former has a thing here. I'm trying to find it. I can't find it in my texts, but I was sent it. Like basically like this building used to be owned by someone who used to own this and used to own that and used to own this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, who cares who owned something 5 years ago? Does that really even matter?
I don't know. We just spin out of control sometimes.
Oh, here we go. Former owner of the ATT building in Nashville, Cerebras Capital. Owners of Dominion Voting System, Staple Street Capital, are former executives from Cerebras. Okay. That means they don't own it anymore. Well, why does that matter? I don't know. Listen, guys. Is it weird? Yeah, it's very weird that there was an RV sitting outside of the AT&T building broadcasting, move away from this, evacuate if you're here. You know, this is a dangerous area for like a half hour or whatever, how long it was.
Yeah.
It's also very, you know, it's not uncommon knowledge that the NSA works through AT&T buildings. The Intercept did a whole big thing on it. But this particular facility is a VoIP routing center. What does that mean? It means that it takes voice over IP traffic for whatever pipes are coming in there and routes it. It's not like a data center or something. I don't know.
So I don't know. The more simple conclusions I've seen reached is that it was a disgruntled worker. A disgruntled worker.
Right-wing extremist. Don't forget that. That's going to be coming any minute now.
Is it?
Either
way, I don't know. I don't know. All I know is very weird. I mean, it's Christmas morning. You're telling everybody to get away. You blow up an RV outside of a building. You cause superficial damage to it. And I don't know. They found human remains, they say. Well, I don't know.
There's also a lot of people saying that the explosion didn't happen in the RV. Like, they're looking at the footage that's been released, and they're saying that the explosion actually happened across the street.
Yeah, I saw that. After the flash, I saw that it originated from the other side of the street. It looks like it, at least. And you know what? I'll just sit back and wait to see what the hell happens. Or it'll be this time next week, and it'll already be 3 days since the last time anybody's mentioned it.
Yeah, I don't say anything until I have some semblance of what's really going on, because first of all, I don't believe the FBI. I believe nothing that the FBI tells me, literally nothing. This is where we are in this country, where people don't believe any institution. They don't. So therefore, they're left to try and figure it out on their own. And everybody's a forensic expert who's a video analyst. And, you know, people are all trying to figure out what the heck, why a truck bomb exploded outside of an AT&T facility in the midst of, like, what we are viewing as the most egregious act of war on our country in history and stealing our election. Now, today, and it's all, I mean, it could all be connected. It could, but I'm just like.
No, you see, no, this is the other, on that point in particular with the election and the theory that this was to muddy something up or to destroy something, evidence, whatever. Like if we're talking about if that guy, the Ramsland guy, if he's talking about, you know, in Georgia and places like that, you have these smart meters, these smart thermometers and thermostats that are being used to tap into voting machines, and they're rerouting
the
thermostats. Mm-hmm. They're rerouting votes and all this stuff from the machines overseas. We know that at least that close to 30 states had their votes tabulated in Frankfurt, Germany. We've been talking about how everything is digitized, that everything everything has been monitored, especially since the 2018 executive order. If we're going to stick to the convictions we had even last week, then we were under the impression that everything that was needed to hang these people has already been acquired. So what the hell would it even matter for somebody to have to blow up an RV outside of a building in Nashville to disrupt any kind of conclusion to this situation if we already have everything that we needed? And if we've been collecting data and getting ready for this since 2018. Well, I just don't. Somebody's got to explain that to me.
What?
That's why I haven't really racked my brain over it, and I just enjoyed Christmas.
Look, everybody can do what they want to do, right? Everybody do what you got to do. I'm just saying, we're never going to know. We're never going to know. And I don't know what's. I don't know. I'm reading here about Senator Thune saying, "Oh, this, all the election fraud has been litigated already." What? No case has been heard. The courts didn't take a case. Litigated. I don't know what we're gonna listen. If I'm gonna be in D.C. for January 6th.
Yeah, I'm curious just to see what 6th is all about. It's gonna be wild. What is it all? That's what I can't wait for.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? We might be on the 6th partying it up all night long because they actually did the right thing for once.
You know, that's something more so something I think that we should all be looking out for. The president says, hey, be there on the 6th. It's going to be wild. I want to see what's so wild now. I don't know if I'll be there. Probably won't. But still, I'll be watching from hundreds of miles away.
I want to know what's going to be wild, too. And I would like to also know, you know, why it is at this point in time with all I'm putting out a column today about foreign interference with some pretty hefty evidence that this election was interfered with by foreigners. You know, the big thing that destroyed our country for 4 years. And I want to know why. I really think, to be honest, it's like frustrating because I feel like the president didn't get out of his own way. There were so many things he could have done. There was nothing to lose. And he's counting on the same people that he knows have screwed him over 100,000 times. So do I have faith that there will be good people in Congress and the Senate that will, you know, take this up? Yes. But I don't know. I don't know anymore what's going to, I mean, I don't know.
Yep. But we will know soon.
We sure will.
Which is pretty great.
I hate to be, I'm not being pessimistic. I hate to sound pessimistic. It's just that, you know, he could have gotten these machines. You know, they're blatantly ignoring a subpoena in Arizona. They're just not handing them over. There's a government.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Well, when is somebody going to take the things that we are looking at as seriously as we do? How can you ignore these subpoenas? But then again, every subpoenaed email. I mean, Hillary Clinton should have gotten charged for destruction of evidence 30,000 times. Every last one of those emails were subpoenaed and they all went away. That should have been a charge for each email.
It doesn't matter. They don't follow any rules or laws.
Exactly.
If we were to, if someone were to subpoena me and I ignored it, I'd be sitting in jail right now.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
The election commission in Arizona? No, screw you. Take your subpoena, shove it up your hiney. We're not going to listen. The judge tells them to listen. They say no. There's nothing left. There's no law and order. The laws and the rules and the order do not exist anymore for certain people. Clearly.
Clearly.
And I'm really, like, I don't think that every single thing, there may be something to this whole COVID relief bill, because you don't do something like this if you think you're not going to be around to litigate the rest of it, Frank. Like, the actions that he took on this bill aren't actions that you would take if you didn't think you'd be around for the end, when they have to go back through all these funds and figure it out, because it's not a forever thing that they're just never going to be funded. It's just that they're postponed for X amount of time.
You would never do what he did at the Pentagon if he thought he was going to leave.
Exactly. There's a lot of things that you wouldn't do, but then you sit back and you wonder because of, you know, look, I know Patrick was in that meeting. I know the conversation we had with him, and I corroborated the things that he said. I knew some of the things he said previously before he said them, because I knew other people who were there. And so he told the truth about the meeting, and you wonder, like, what doesn't he know he has the power to do? And then some things he seems to wield, like, very skillfully, and other things he just sits back on. Maybe he sat back on it on purpose. Maybe he has another plan. I don't know. I mean, like, big deal. Senate's going to look into voter fraud and investigate it. It's December 28th.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Sorry, I'm a little all over today.
Nah, there's only a couple of stories that are really prominent for me. I think that we hit them all so far, and we're weaving them together. And the big reveal is coming soon.
Yeah, I mean, it is. That's for sure.
So we're all, yeah, I feel like we're all in the movie theater right now, and it's just before the previews begin, and everybody just found their seats, and some of us got some popcorn, and there's a murmur in the theater, and everybody's just talking. You remember when we used to go to theaters and there was a murmur there? There's people in there?
Yep. Mm-hmm. When the movie theaters existed. Yeah.
Yeah. You could smell that salty, buttery, wafting scent in the air. And everybody's just getting themselves ready to go. You see somebody from town you haven't seen. Well, hold on one second. I see Jerry. I'll be right back. You got to go over there and say hello to them. You come on back. And then all of a sudden, boom, boom, the lights go dim. And we're all.
Yeah. We're watching the movie. Except in that scenario, it's a movie and not the country. Here, I just got an article from the Epoch Times. It says, Trump urges supporters to gather in D.C. on January 6th. See you in Washington, D.C. Don't miss it. A number of groups are planning to gather in the nation's capital as members of Congress convene in a joint session to count electoral votes. At least 11 members or members-elect in the House of Representatives plan to object to electoral votes. They have not yet received a commitment from a senator. Challenges require both a representative and a member of the upper congressional chamber. The objection wouldn't be upheld unless a majority in each chamber vote in favor of it. Two dozen GOP senators have already said they will not object to the votes. Others have indicated they would not join in an objection. Five senators said they're open to objecting. Tommy Tuberville is one of them. And Mitch McConnell has said, you can't be doing this. You'll upset the apple cart.
Don't do it. We have lives. The salary is very, very good. We all of our family have jobs now. Please, I gave you judges. Just go away.
Yeah, the judges that did absolutely nothing. So
I gave you all the judges you want. Just please, just leave me alone, Mr. Trump. Please.
What happens now? What happens January 7th and 8th, Frank?
Hopefully there's a Royal Rumble and we all get to fight each other. With a Royal Rumble in Liberty Square, Freedom Plaza. Everybody has to take off their shirts, and you can wrap your fists with out of whatever you want. No brass knuckles, but you can do cloth, rolls of quarters, and we're just going to line up like Braveheart and just finally have a fist fight.
I don't know.
What does happen the 7th and the 8th?
Here's the thing.
He said it's going to be wild on the 6th. So that tells me that there's reason to celebrate on the 6th.
That's what it sounds like to me. He's made a couple of comments about it, too. It's not just, I mean, There's got to be a reason. He doesn't do stuff like that for no reason. Get everybody off their butts into D.C. for a day. He didn't do that any of the other times. I've been there. So I'll be there again, fighting my butt off, screaming into some microphone somewhere.
Oh, maybe I'll go. I don't know.
You need to go. You really do.
If it's a Wednesday, maybe I'll just leave at 5 in the morning and then I'll drive home that same day.
You could do that. It's not that long. You'll be there by 9. You leave it. Even if you leave at 9, you'll be home by 1. 4 hours. Nothing.
Yep. You
should do it.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, you gotta be. I meet somebody with some kung fu knuckles next to me in Freedom Plaza.
Matt may be there. My buddy Sal might be going. Sal the Butcher.
Why don't you just go down with all these guys?
I don't know. Maybe. I just don't know. Like I said, this everything. Whatever. We'll see.
I was trying to find a show open of yours to show my dad on YouTube, and I couldn't. And then D Live, I get very confused. I can't see your shows from past shows, and it's hard to find your stuff. I was trying to show him your opening because I wanted to show him the clip inside of your show open.
Well, I don't know where the hell else is. Oh, there's always Rumble or
you're on
shoot.
Rumble.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I delete it all off of, I delete everything. Only openings are on YouTube.
They are?
Yeah.
I couldn't even find one.
Oh, shoot. I cut it off right at the intro.
Yeah. I need the intro. That's what I want. I want the intro.
Okay.
Because my dad, he laughs at you all the time.
I'm glad.
It's true, you're great.
I like making, gotta make the fathers laugh.
Can we tell a story real quick?
Yeah.
So my mom's birthday was 2 days ago. And I said, you know, happy birthday to the lady everybody calls Mama Beans. And then Mama Beans got trending somehow.
I saw that.
Which was insane.
Wow.
Trending in the United States, Mama Beans.
Wowee. Happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday, Mom. So I said, maybe we can make Mama Orgy trend.
Her birthday was yesterday.
Yeah, or Mama Frankly.
Mama Frankly, yeah. Her birthday was yesterday. And brought the baby up to see her for a little bit.
How's Pops?
He's back in the hospital.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they released him, and a week went by, and he still hadn't gone to the bathroom.
Oh, no.
So I had to go back, and so he was admitted on Saturday afternoon. He's in good spirits and they got things to move along, but they just don't, they're just going to do a couple more scans and stuff. Who knows?
That happened to me.
You get pumped with so much stuff. I'm not going to worry about it right now, especially since he's in good hands. But you get pumped with so much stuff when you're in there for a procedure like that. And then I'm sure that they were managing his pain for the couple of days afterwards, and all those things can bind you up.
Oh, that number two. Okay.
Oh, if he hadn't peed in 7 days, his bladder would explode.
When I went out to have, when I had my surgery, I had a hysterectomy, and that happened to me. I couldn't go. They let me go home, even though I couldn't go. And it was horrible. I was scared. I thought I'd never be able to go again. It was like a week that I had to have assistance. Finally, it came back, sort of.
Well, that's good.
Sort of.
Good. Everybody needs to be able to pee, and everybody needs to be able to poop.
Yes, pooping and peeing is very important.
Very
Eliminating
important,
waste. If Congress could only eliminate waste the way the human body seems to do it.
I tend to believe that you only need to poop once a year.
They don't even do that.
I try to limit my pooping to maybe once a year, and my wife, she only poops once every 3 years. And thank you, Mr. President, for the ability.
You do a good turtle. So, real quick, before we go, because I'm in case you guys haven't noticed, very frustrated today. Frustrated. Did you see all these clips coming out over the weekend of these unidentified flying objects all over the place?
I saw the one in New York.
Oh, I didn't even see that one.
You didn't see the one on Christmas night.
What was it, Frank?
Hold on. Damn it. Hold on. Wait a second. I before I had called you, I looked at it again, seeing, can I can I get this onto the show tonight? Hold on.
There was one that was like, it looked like a SpaceX rocket had all lifted off. Are you sending it to me?
I'll send it to you in DM. Hold on.
On Twitter?
DM. Yeah. Tracy. There you are. And away it goes. This was Long Island Expressway.
Oh.
And you say, well, it looks like a plane. But then you take a look at it a little bit more. And these, these lights are.
I see a clip of Steve Quayle.
This is all those things are important.
Steve Quayle.
Yeah. Oh, that was the last thing that you sent me. Sorry. Here we go. Long Island Expressway. So with my own. Wow. It does look like a plane at first. It's got flashing red light on the front. I'll put this in the show notes for everybody. It looks like a big plane.
It does. So it may be a plane, but at the same time, it's just the formation, the lights, and the way it hangs in the air. It's Jeff. And when we say, ladies and gentlemen, unidentified, that's just exactly what it is. It doesn't mean that there's a little green man in there, although I hope so.
If there were ever a time for them to do something, now is it.
I don't think that. See, this is the time I would believe it the least.
Yeah, I know. But somebody needs to save us because human beings are not doing it.
Well, that's the whole point. Isn't that the reason why we are told by all of these people in the disclosure projects, the various disclosure projects that have different layers, different varying levels of believability? Everybody seems to come down to the same conclusion that that we're not ready yet to be shown and that we have some more work to do. Well, if that is the common held, that's the commonly held belief about all this stuff, then why the hell would they show up when we're at our worst? You know, if they show up when we are at our worst and most volatile, then I do not believe anything that is behind it. And there's probably somebody else working this like a, I don't know.
Three more days left in the year 2020, Frank. We'll have Wednesday's show. That will be our last show of 2020. And it has been an absolutely insane year. And all I'm saying is, I still have hope that we can do the right thing here. But if this does not work out and our election is not properly culminated, we need to start planning. And if that includes the green men, then so be it.
You know what would be really awesome? If we can get about 40 million of the 80 million people that voted for Donald Trump to show up in one state and flip the rest of the country the bird. Say, nope, we're no longer going to be taking care. We're no longer going to be taking part in all of this subsidizing of everything from education to medicine. You don't even have to secede. We just finally say, no, thank you. The states have supremacy.
Make and South just Carolina. Say no. I'm here.
Just say no. That would be great. Then 40 million might be a little bit. You know what we should do?
What?
40 million people should migrate to maybe a cluster of states reinforce it.
Oh, like make like a three, like a, almost like the tri-state area in New York. Like make it
absolutely.
Like Florida, Georgia, South Carolina.
Yeah.
And everybody just fortify those areas with just every patriot in the country just flock there.
Yeah, but I'm talking like real federalism. Like we are showing up, and if we have an idea for subsidizing health care or whatever or anything like that, we'll want to create safety nets for people. We're going to do it in state.
Mm-hmm.
Where you know that's it. We are and anything that sniffs of federal overreach, we just say no, thank you. We don't want it, and that's it.
Why is that so hard?
It's hard because people don't know that that's the way it's supposed to be.
And then you were like, people are like, oh, if these people don't do the right thing, we're going to primary them. Hello. Elections don't matter anymore if this one doesn't work out. Like, seriously, I will never, ever trust another election the entire time that I'm alive.
Definitely not a federal election.
Nope.
Although we've had plenty of evidence shown that, that local and state elections have been massacred as well. But
do you remember Tim Canova? You could say no because it was a while ago. It was after the primary. It was after the 2018, the midterms.
No.
I interviewed him. He was a progressive. Ran against Debbie Wasserman Schultz. They literally did the same exact thing to him. I interviewed him for an hour. He's an amazing man. He said he was literally a progressive, like Bernie Sanders all the way progressive. He just DM'd me the other day. And he said, everything the corrupt Democrats and corrupt Republicans have done to President Trump in this election, they did to me to rig elections for Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Rigged mail-in ballots, rigged voting machines, mathematically impossible election results, blocking our observers, destroying evidence, and apparently rigged law enforcement agencies and judges. He says this, I proudly and publicly endorse Donald Trump in 2020.
I'm telling you, it's a mafia. And that's why when I was watching that that Netflix special that came out months ago called Fear City, and it was all about New York City in the 70s and 80s during the gang wars that were going on there, and how people like Rudy Giuliani and the FBI came on in and finally were able to start breaking apart these massive networks with the RICO statutes. And I asked myself, even though it was really interesting to watch all this play out, I knew the story, but it was a different take on the whole thing. I asked myself, well, in the end, what does it really matter? You got rid of one adversary that was giving the FBI and the federal government a hard time. They couldn't break it. It was a very corrupt thing. They had their own little breakaway society, pretty much. They controlled all the unions. Everything that happened in New York didn't happen unless it went through one of their own people. And they say, okay, well, in comes the FBI and rah-rah, here comes the American flag. And they broke it all apart and they created the greatest mafia. The biggest, most untouchable organized crime family there is. There is nothing that competes with the federal government anymore.
No, nothing. And they're all there's just like, it's disappointing. But like, seriously, do you, whenever you hear that the FBI is investigating something, what is your first thought?
If anything's going to come of it, it's because they're investigating an enemy of the FBI.
Yeah.
If it's a friend of the FBI, and if they are higher up the food chain on the same tree, then it's going to be, I mean, they're going to flush some low-level patsy, and they're going to give us some kind of a weather balloon over Roswell excuse, and that's it. Or when there's really no place to go without stepping on a landmine, they'll just tell us, you know, we'll never know the motive. Stephen Paddock.
We have so much power that people do not recognize or realize yet. We really do, Frank. We do. We can single-handedly stop the economy.
Yes.
We can single-handedly stop funding the government. There's a lot of things that we can do. And we need to keep loud and get it in the streets. Just needs to happen. Has to happen. Has to. I just don't see how evil like this can continue to thrive. It has been thriving for goodness knows how long. It just can't. It's just not universally possible. There has to be balance. Do you ever think, like I do this sometimes, this is going to make me sound a little crazy, but do you ever think like I look around, I'm driving to wherever I'm going or whatever, and everyone's driving their cars and doing their thing, blissfully unaware of all the things that are going on behind the scenes. We're very plugged into what's going on and even behind the scenes. But can you imagine what is really going on behind the scenes that we don't know about? Like in the dark underbelly of behind the scenes?
I can't even imagine. And I've got a nice imagination.
I mean, it could be any number of things going on. And, you know, there could be like, you know, in movies where like there are people working to save the universe, behind, like Men in Black, they're working behind the scenes to save the universe. And no one's ever going to know who they are. And then all of a sudden they do a good deed and they save the universe and nobody knows that it even happened. That's what I feel like we're living in right now. Maybe that's crazy.
No, it's not crazy at all. I think there's plenty of MIB type things going on. And maybe we get a glimpse. Well, one thing we can say about 2020 is we've gotten several glimpses behind the green curtain. You know, a breeze come kicks up and a flap of the curtain raises and we get a glow. Like, oh, my God, you saw that? Everybody just saw that? Yep. All right. It's real.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the greatest glimpse behind the curtain was the election itself. I mean, that was just naked. The emperor has no clothes. Nonsense. Like, you. Oh, my God. I mean, they if it weren't for the size of the people selling that scam between the media and the UN, oh man, if it wasn't for the size of the people selling that scam, then it would just be a comedy. It would be a comedy, the election.
Do you remember, Frank, when it was so crazy and we were so beside ourselves this year when Maxine Waters said we need to confront them at the gasoline stations?
That was this year?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
No. Hold on. Maxine Waters.
That was probably like 17, 18.
No. 18,
19 at least.
Oh, it was. It was 2018. You see,
yeah.
This is what has done. Then did you know, this is another thing. I was sitting last night talking to we were listening to some music. And I said to my dad loves Nothing Compares to You by Sinead O'Connor. And I said, oh, she died. And Will was like, yeah, she killed herself. It's pretty crazy. And we were talking about it. And he goes, really? And we looked it up and she's still alive. But both of us were convinced that she had died.
No, she just kind of left public view.
I remember
having York still alive?
Yes.
Okay.
I remember having the conversation with my husband about how, like, I remember this happened. This is the thing. Like, we both remember that happening. Like, we were like looking at each other like, oh my gosh, it's another Mandela effect. Guys, if you remember a couple, like 6-7 months ago, there being reports of Sinead O'Connor passing away, let me know. Because we were so convinced of it, both of us, independently of one another. There's something weird going on, Frank.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, I know there is.
That's what it feels like. You know what the heck?
The Mandela effect.
Yes.
In full.
Yes. And it's Berenstain.
Captain Crunch. It was always Captain Crunch, not Cap'n Crunch.
You know, I don't know. I know the Berenstain Bears one is just ridiculous.
I actually don't have any examples that really hit home for me.
Oh, I have plenty.
I don't.
That's another thing. You could sit around the campfire once we, you know, I really feel like it'll be Walking Dead. That's what's going to happen. My daughter's watching it right now. And I'm like, well, let me take some training tips. God. But we still have the sixth, Frank. We still have the sixth.
We still have the sixth. We still have Paris. All right, well, yeah,
hey.
We'll sit back and relax. And on Wednesday, it will be the final of this wonderful year.
Yeah, and we could do some, like, remember whens. Like, try and pull up some remember whens for Wednesday.
Okay.
And, yeah. Hope everybody had a great Christmas. Sorry the show's a little scattered today and just a little bit.
It's good.
I think it's because they're taking my house down. I'm just in a blah mood. You have been listening.
It's good.
You've been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with
Frankie Val on the drums and
Beans. You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and usually Fridays at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and RadioInfluence.com. Last day of the year for us on Wednesday. We will see you then.
Later.
Radio Influence strives to bring you excellence in podcasting. We work with personalities like TV chef Brian Duffy, radio personalities like Ian Beckles, news and political pundits like independent journalists Frank and Tracy Beans, experts from the sports world like veteran football scout and coach Chris Landry, pro wrestling personality David Penzer, MMA experts Jason Floyd and Daniel Galvan, and strength and conditioning coach Jeff Crochelle. If you're looking for food, sports, music, entertainment, politics, no matter the topic, Radio Influence has something for everyone. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, and RadioInfluence.com.